Blog Talk Radio.
Gives food to her household and portions to her maidens.
She considers a field and buys it. From her earnings, she plants a vineyard. She girds herself with strength and makes her arms strong. She senses that her gain is good. Her lamp does not go out at night. She stretches out her hands to the distaff, and her hands grasp the spindle. She extends her hand to the poor. She stretches out her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all her household are clothed with scarlet. She makes coverings for herself. Her clothing is fine linen and purple. Her husband is known in the gates. He sits among the elders of the land. She makes linen garments and sells them, and supplies belts to the tradesmen. Strength and dignity are her clothing, and she smiles at the future. She opens her mouth in wisdom, and the teaching of kindness is on her tongue. She looks well to the ways of her household, and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and bless her, her husband also, and he praises her, saying, "Many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all." Charm is deceitful, and beauty is vain, but a woman who fears the Lord shall be praised. Give her the product of her hands, and let her works praise her in the gates. If you read that and say, "Oh," and think and say, "Wow, if you could find a person like that, yeah, you would do well." And I think that many women, my wife, other women I've met, meet many of those qualifications, and probably all of them at certain times. But honestly, if you found someone that could do all of those things all the time, it would be interesting. By the same token, a woman could find a man that would do all the things that he should do all the time. It's just, but if you shoot for a level 3 and level 10 is available, you'll get level 3. I mean, the point being is you can find someone that fits one or two of those qualities and say, "That's good enough for me." And I don't think that that's what God has for us. And I don't think he wants us to be the kind of person that pursues, "Well, I'll have a life of like level 2 or 3 and I'm okay. Or I want to just get by." That isn't what God wants us to do. He wants a standard. He wants the bar to be high. And of course we're going to fail. Of course we're not going to hit a home run every time, but once in a while you do. And the only way to ever hit a home run is if you strive to do it, if you're practicing to do it, to be able to do it, and do all the things that need to be done to allow you to do that. Now, quite honestly, if we go over to baseball for a minute, I watched a little baseball show last night about the 1919 Sox, White Sox, and everything they did and throwing the game, how it ruined all the players and Shoeless Joe Jackson and all those guys that were phenomenal. They weren't real smart. In fact, I think Shoeless Joe, at least they portrayed him in the movie, as being illiterate. He had to make an X on the mark. He had to make an X. Quite honestly, they were found not guilty of throwing the game, but the baseball commissioner that they brought in, and that guy was probably as corrupt as the day is long, made it so they could never play baseball again. So you might think, well, they cleaned up baseball, but yeah, I don't think they did that necessarily in the best way. But here's the deal. All those guys that played, they had practice. And the reason why they were so good, they came up from bush leagues and they played since they were little kids, and they learned how to swing a bat, how to hold a bat, how to eye a ball, look at it. You know, you can't just step up the first time, grab a bat and hit a home run. Now you might if you're lucky, or if you just happenstance, but to be able to hit all the time and hit home runs all the time, you'd have to be perfect. The only way you can ever hit a home run is to swing the bat. And if you're practiced, you're going to do that now and then. So if you look at these things, all these lists of things for a woman to do, and quite honestly, they seem dated, but if you put them in today's, vernacular, it doesn't necessarily mean she's going to go have purple clothing, but it's the best clothing. That's what it's referring to, the best, most outstanding. I'm reading Sarah Palin's book, Going Rogue, I think it is. I don't even think I know the title of the book, but it's her book. It's basically her autobiography, and that's one thing she did. And there was actually, they came against her because she was wearing Arctic Cat clothing, but It's the best stuff you can get to fight the winter weather in Alaska. And they came against her saying that she was doing an advertisement for Arctic Cat because she had her and her kids in Arctic Cat stuff. It's what they wore. They're just regular people. So people want to turn something into something horrible and try and make it a nasty, you know, underhanded thing when she was just wearing the best you could get for the weather. And so somebody who's got their act together, they want the best they can. And then looking for things, looking for property to buy. It says about wool and flax and stuff. That means you have the right materials. I watch my daughter-in-law. I don't watch her much because I don't get to see her do it, but when I do, knit. And she knit all the stockings, and now she's got to add some more stockings because there's another baby on the way and family members. And so just watching her do that, I mean, that's exactly what that's talking about, having the wool, having the stuff you need to be able to do that and working with your hands. And it says, and delighting in it. It says the light never goes out, meaning you don't just bail. It doesn't mean they never, ever, 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 ever sleep, but it means they work consistently, and they work late into the night. I've seen that so many times with my wife in preparing things, especially if families are coming over, the rest of the family's coming over, and to work late and get up early and get it all prepared. And then it talks about wisdom. It talks about her, she opens her mouth with wisdom. All these things can happen. It is possible to find someone who has, I guess, all of these. Maybe 24/7, we're sinners. You know, I think if I could act the way I'm supposed to act, think the way I'm supposed to think, speak, function the way I'm supposed to function, according to the Word of God, that'd be a good find for my wife. I unfortunately am not doing that all the time because I'm a lousy, rotten, miserable sinner. But if you're aware of it, and you look at it and you say, this is the way we're supposed to be. These are good marching orders. Because if I attempt to do this, I'm going to do better than if I don't. Remember, you'll never hit a home run unless you swing the bat. You got to learn how to swing the bat, how to keep your eye on the ball. Okay. Well, the only way to be able to do these things is to know what they are, know what it says. And then, quite honestly, you can't do any of this correctly without the power of the Holy Spirit. So guys or gals, you cannot function the way the Bible tells you to function correctly without the Holy Spirit of God empowering you. And that's how you can do more of these things than you really think you can. If you look at the list, you go, wow, that is just unbelievable. Considers a field and buys it from her earnings and plants a vineyard. Girds herself with strength, makes her arm strong. You know, she senses her gain is good, her lamp does not go out, she stretches out her hand, she takes the spindle and the distaff. In other words, she's weaving. You know, she's spinning the wool that she gets and spinning it into yarn and getting ready to do that. And she helps the needy and is not afraid of any weather that comes up because she's got the best clothing possible for her and her family. And her husband is known because, oh, that's the husband of her. You know, that means, and he's a well-known and a well-taken care of man. And you see that. And then the kids, what do the kids do? Rise up and bless their mother. You know, today we have a lot of kids rising up and cursing their mother. We have kids that are rising up with a smart-aleck attitude and saying things to their parents that quite honestly, would have got us in real trouble and likely, probably swatted, and even more than that, swatted more than once. But today that's not happening. Why? Because, well, I don't think people are paying attention to what the Word of God says. And I mean that to Christians. And I know that people that aren't Christians, they can't pay attention to what the Word of God says. They don't read it, they haven't read it, and they wouldn't care anyway. So that's why I go back to what I said. It has to be the Holy Spirit of God ministering to you. And you can read in the last few verses. It says in verse 29, many daughters have done nobly, but you excel them all. In other words, that's looking at your wife, at a wife that is a godly woman. And here's why I say that. Remember, I said godly woman. There's a lot of people that have done a lot of these things. And you can do some of these things without knowing Christ. But the only way you can do these things correctly is with Christ is at the center. Now it goes on. It says, a woman who fears the Lord be praised. So if you want to be praised, then you're going to have to fear the Lord. That doesn't mean you're afraid of God. that this woman's beautiful character is her spiritual life. She's a godly woman who is in reverent awe of God. You can go to many different areas. You can go to Proverbs 1. In fact, if we look at Proverbs 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction. So that is where you're going to get some real solid wisdom. That's where you get the real wisdom, is from the Lord and fearing the Lord. And that doesn't mean you cower in a corner. You're in reverent awe, a submissive awe of how God is. And it's interesting. The book of Proverbs ends in chapter 31 saying that that if you fear the Lord, verse 30, if you fear the Lord, you're going to be praised. And it starts by saying in chapter 1, verse 7, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So here you have this whole book, and it looks very thin if you just hold the pages up, 31 chapters, as it were. But this teaching that we've just gone through, half of it, we're going to do the next half, starting over in verse 1 of chapter 1 tomorrow, is going to go back to wisdom. So it really doesn't, and the wisdom is fearing the Lord, and it really doesn't change, see, at all. I mean, there's a lot of pieces, there's a lot of parts to the puzzle, but in all reality, it goes to wisdom. It starts with wisdom, it ends with wisdom, and we need to be filled with wisdom. And the only place you're going to get wisdom is from God. You know, quite often, we see little things here and there that just motivate us. And I love, and I really love every morning reading what Ann Graham Lotz writes. Sometimes it's not as really profound, I think, as some of other stuff she says. But this one was very interesting. And I actually added a word. I'm not sure if she forgot the word, but it doesn't matter what word it is. But just, it's interesting because there's so much more to life than life. More to life than life. Watch this. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. That's John 10:10. So there's a lot more to life. Listen to this. This is her. She says there's a lot more to life than being healthy, than being happy, than being problem-free, than being comfortable, than feeling good, than getting what we want, than being healed. There is more to life even than living. And the more to life is the development of our faith to the extent that our very lives display God's glory. We are to reflect God's glory. She goes on to say this, and this is an awesome a tag at the end. She says, Jesus does not always protect those he loves from bad things happening, but he uses the bad things to fulfill his greater plan. Now, God gives us his protection. And don't think that he never protects anyone. But he doesn't always protect us from a bad thing happening. Why? Because he wants to use that bad thing to fulfill his greater plan. She goes on to say, he is glad, not that we suffer, but that we have the opportunity to grow in our faith and display his glory, which is the fulfillment of the very purpose of our existence. Don't settle for less than more. Don't ever settle for less than more. The essence, the fulfillment of our purpose is that we glorify God. We bring glory to God. We bring his name to the service. We allow people to see that. Now, it can be because of our health. It can be because we're happy. We're actually problem-free. We're very comfortable. We feel good. We actually get some things that we want. We're healed when we were had a malady, physical, emotional, spiritual. But there's a lot more to our life than just those things. And we need to know that. It's great to be healthy, and God can make us healthy and does make us healthy and happy and problem-free and comfortable. But you know what? We're not always healthy. You actually can't get sick. You're not always happy. You're not always problem-free. You're not always comfortable. I could just mold into a chair here and go over in the corner and just fall asleep completely if I had all that happening right now. Always feeling good, always getting what we want, always being healed. Living, if you live, if you truly live, you're going to have some times when you're not completely healthy and you're not completely happy and you're not completely problem-free and you're not completely comfortable. In fact, you may not be comfortable at all. You ain't feeling good whatsoever and you ain't getting anything you want and you're not being healed. Paul prayed three times to have a thorn removed. But you can continually always glorify God, even in the midst of your trial and your tribulations, your trials and tribulations that are promised. See, those are promised. Consider it all joy, my brethren, when you encounter various trials. You will encounter trials and tribulations. You're going to have times where your health isn't right, and you're not happy, you're not problem-free, you're not comfortable. You don't feel good. You're not getting anything you want, and you're not being healed. That doesn't negate the fact that God is still on the throne, and he wants to use those times to be able to fulfill his greater plan. And you have the opportunity to grow in our faith and display his glory, which is definitely the fulfillment of our purpose and our very existence. So don't ever settle for less than more. God has more for us than we can possibly imagine. Don't settle for less than more. Tomorrow will be the 1st of April. I'm not going to pull any jokes on you. I think that's April Fool's Day, isn't it? I don't know. So I hope you have a wonderful evening and get into the Word some more and get ready. We're going to be in Proverbs chapter 1, verse 1. There's going to be 33 verses in that particular proverb, and it'll start the ball rolling again, and we'll go in through there and see what God has for us, wisdom tomorrow, and how to live according to the Word of God in today's world. You guys have a wonderful day, and we'll see you tomorrow.